I think everyone should be in by now, so we're going to dive right into this. So essentially, we're going to be talking about a glimpse into ASP.NET.
Yeah, so we're Nick and Anthony, and it's kind of fun to be standing up here. We've sat where you guys were the last couple of years, and we joined Microsoft about 4 months ago now, and so they're sponsoring us to work on Glimpse. And I know a lot of the people that are in this room have helped Glimpse get to where it is, so I want to start the presentation by thanking you. And can I get a quick show of hands? How many people have used or seen or heard of Glimpse before? All right, good room. If you did not raise your hand, I'll tell you where you can go. I'm just joking. So for the uninitiated, Anthony is going to do a much quicker demo than planned because you guys got to watch Javatar or Java Forever.
Okay. So if anyone's interested and hasn't played around with it recently, the best example you can go to is play.getglimpse.com. Okay. And right away, what you'll see is something different than what you usually have at the bottom of a web page is this bar. Okay. That's down the bottom. And what we're showing here is kind of like a heads-up display of everything that occurred within your application, okay, or the high points of what happened. And from there, we can actually mouse over these different sections, okay, and you can see which controllers happen, you know, even child controllers, the SQL activity that happened within that, and then if there's something that's interesting within that, we can actually click on the G and we're like kind of diving into that request, okay? And from here, depending on what you're interested in, whether it be routing or, you know, the environment or configuration, you know, whatever it happens to be, we can start going into it. And from there, we can even see like a timeline of what happened. So we can start breaking down, well, you know, what actually took up the majority of a request, you know, things like this, okay? So does that kind of make sense? You know, this should be familiar for most people as to, you know, where we're at today in terms of Glimpse as a bit of a grounding. Cool. Okay, so road to V2.
So everything that Anthony just showed you is available on NuGet right now. That is what we always refer to as V1.x. And so last November, when we were sitting in this room, we were listening to Damien and Hunter and all those guys tell us about what was coming in what is now called ASP.NET 5. And so Anthony and I did a whole bunch of work to take what you just saw, which is built on top of HTTP modules and HTTP handlers, and get it running on top, and get it to also work with middleware in ASP.NET 5, which was a lot of work, but we actually got something that was up and running. But when we saw the vision of the ASP.NET team and where they wanted to go with things, Anthony and I started saying, man, that's kind of cool that they get to stop after 10 years and rewrite their framework and do it from the modern, like from the get-go. And so we started asking ourselves, well, what would it look like if we did that? What would modern day Glimpse look like? And so we were actually in Vegas. I was up $400 at blackjack. Anthony was very mad about the $20 he lost. And we decided, well let's just do a spike. Let's do a prototype. So if you head over to GitHub right now and you look at the Glimpse org on the repo glimpse.prototype, there is the code base that we've been working on for about the last year to see what this could do. And so we, along with our community and the help of Microsoft, have realized, like, yes, this is a good thing. There are some drawbacks, and we're not at feature parity, but what we're going to show you now lives in that repo, and that is the beginning of Glimpse version 2. So there's three main kind of feature sets, three main pillars that are in Glimpse V2. And the first one is what we're calling a curated UI.
Okay, so when it comes to the curated UI, kind of the things we thought about is at the moment with Glimpse V1, if you are trying to get an overview of what your request was, we've got the bar that sits at the bottom of the page, which kind of highlights those points. If you want to dive in to the next level, okay, you can do that by popping over the mouse over, okay, that pop-up comes up at the bottom. But from there, we kind of like, you click on the G and then you're presented with a whole bunch of tabs, okay? And from that, we kind of, even though we've got like the timeline view and we've got the execution tab and whatever else, it's kind of up to you to put the pieces together as to, you know, what this request looks like. And so one of the things that we're really trying to focus on is if you could hop in a plane and fly at the 10,000 foot view over your code from a debugging and diagnostics perspective, what would that look like? And then if you came down to like the 9,000 8,000, 7,000, 5,000 foot view. You know, what does that look like? And at the moment with V1, it kind of breaks down as soon as you open up the G, okay, open up the main panel. And so what we said is, well, what would we do if we could actually kind of carry that through the rest of that UI? The second thing we said is from that point onwards, so once you leave HUD, you know, what does, you know, what is your mental model, okay, of an MVC request look like, okay? And so this is the kind of things that we started thinking about. And so what we kind of came up with for that was kind of this view, okay? And one of the things we were thinking about was, you know, how do we, when we start looking at like production even and whatever else, and starting to look at like, hey, I've got a user in Turkey who's got an issue and their support call has finally come to me, how do I actually track them in real time and see them as I'm on the phone with them and stepping through and actually seeing the details of what's actually going on with their application, okay? So for instance, in V1, it's very difficult to kind of, or we have a view for tracking users like that, okay, but it's not that easy to work with. So we're like, well, what if we could step back and actually say, well, how would we do that? Okay, so here we can actually see the requests, okay, as they come in, we can see the users that they're associated with and go through like that. Now, we don't imagine that this is something, let's say you've got a production server which has got, you know, 10,000 requests a second, you're not going to be turning Glimpse on for every single one of those requests, okay? But maybe whenever a developer logs in, or if you've got a particular user on that support call or whatever else, this is the sort of view that works for you. Then from there, let's say we select a given request, okay, or you're in development mode, okay, and you're the only user, okay, you'd get presented with a view like this, okay? So we're actually diving into the detail of a request. And here, we're actually answering that question of, well, what does that, you know, what does an MVC request look like, okay? And in my mind, you know, it starts off with like the route, okay, that occurred. And then from that route, okay, once we know what the name was of that route, you know, all the parameters that got matched and whatever else, it leads on to the action, okay? And when the action executes, kind of the thing in the back of my mind is, well, what was the model binding that occurred for that, okay? Then once I know that, you know, it's what was the data access activity that happened, okay? Whether it be SQL or caching or anything like that. And then finally, what view or result was processed from that. And depending if you've got like child actions or view components, you know, that kind of rinse and repeats from there. Okay, does at the moment, you know, the way that you need to get this sort of picture is you need to navigate across a few different tabs. Whereas we're like, well, you know, what happens if we can bring this in one spot? Does this kind of resonate a little bit with how people imagine their MVC requests, you know, at a high level? Okay, cool. So one of the other things that you can see going on here is there's a few different colors, okay, just to highlight where we're going with some of this. You can see at the top there, we're seeing like a mini timeline of what's happening with the request. And you can see that that matches up with the same colors that are on the verticals down below. So the idea is when you mouse over like action, for instance, you'll actually see, you know, let's say it's the top one, you'll actually see the top orange bar light up. Okay, so you're starting to see some correlation in terms of, you know, where this thing that I'm looking at actually sits in relation to everything else that's going on. Now, when we started looking at this view, it was like, well, you know, do we make this one view, jack of all trades and master of none, or do we kind of curate it for this, you know, hey, I want this display over here on my second monitor, okay, and, you know, updating as I go along, or do we want to try and, you know, build everything into it? And the kind of the answer we came to is if we imagine all the data that we're collecting as a cube, okay, and we say, well, you know, what happens if we could turn that cube in different directions depending on what hat that you're wearing? So at the moment, this might be the default view that comes up, but from there, what happens if I want more of a trace view of what's going on? Okay, so I don't really care about, you know, neatly laid out as kind of like a summary view or whatever else. I just want as much information as I possibly can. So what we've said here is, you know, something like the controller, okay, or the data access or the render or whatever else, from a log perspective, might actually normally take up, you know, like 20, 30 lines of log statements to get what we can actually curate onto one line. And so from here, we can take the curated information that we actually have access to and then merge in your log statements into that, okay, and interlace it and provide semantics on top of that. And one thing you'll notice here is that we're really trying to start to bridge, you know, the client and server paradigm a lot more than we ever had before. So down the bottom, you can see log statements starting to come through there from the client as well, okay, and different events that happened there. So you'll find that we start moving much more towards that sort of pattern. Something else, oops. that we've got is we're thinking about how do we show relationships between requests, okay? Meaning like an AJAX request to its parent, okay? Or sub-server request. So what happens if you've got a very thin web server, okay? And that's doing service requests to other servers, and then we've got information for all those requests that happened, okay? So we want to start to be able to show those. You know, other cases where these relationships are generic is pretend you're like Twilio or something like that, and you've got different requests bouncing back and forth, okay, to orchestrate sending something. You should be able to describe that from a plugin author perspective, okay, and get Glimpse actually working for that scenario. And finally, kind of like your data access view of the world, where you're like, okay, I've put on my data access hat, I'm focused on solving some sort of data access problem, and I can get that information out here. And here you can see, it's chopped off at the bottom there, we're actually trying to isolate cache hits and cache misses into cause and effect. Okay, so you can actually see some of that. Okay. So from there, in terms of what we've actually got, okay, up and running at this point, let's have a look. So I've got my project here. This is MVC Music Store. Nothing fancy going on here. All we've done is we've added the Glimpse package, okay, that we've got running. And from there, what we can actually do is start playing. And we've added like the middleware and stuff like that to our application. And I can show you what that looks like in a sec. But that's now started. And from there, I can go to localhost 5002 and start up my application. And what we'll actually see, and this is real code running, is that HUD is showing up in the bottom of the page. So that was one of the first things that we focused on was, okay, how do we get HUD showing up and what information do we make available for that? Now, in reality, not too much has changed from a HUD perspective from V1 to V2, okay? But we have started mapping across concepts, okay? So you can see at the bottom here, view components is a big thing, okay, in ASP.NET VNext, okay, with MVC. So we're already showing those up, okay, and being able to show SQL queries that show up within that context. From there, what we can do is we can actually open Glimpse. Okay, then this is the UI that we have currently. So it doesn't exactly map what I was showing you on the screen before. Okay, we haven't really settled on what our final design is at the moment, but you can see what we've got is in the spirit of what we were showing previously. Now, at the moment, you'll see this request that has come up and we're showing you the details of the route, you know, the action that we matched on. At the moment, we don't have any interesting model binding data there. We can see the entity framework query that actually executed for that, and we can see the different view components that showed up within that context, okay, and the SQL activities that occurred for that as well. From there, what we can actually do is, because we opened up Glimpse the way we did, Glimpse will be in follow mode, okay? So as I navigate around this website, okay, the details in the back of the screen are updating in real time, okay? And this is something that I can have open up on a separate monitor, you know, whatever I want to, however I want to consume that. And from there, we can actually see, you know, for instance, the model binding information starting to come through, okay? Plus all the SQL queries and whatever else. We can even see things at the moment. We don't have cache hits and cache misses set up, but we can see that, let's say if I go to 18, this is the first time I've been to 18. Now if I go to 19, okay, we had a query hit there. We still had a query hit here. But if I go back to 18, in this sample, okay, we're actually doing a cache. We're storing the albums in cache so we can come back and have a look at them. So you can imagine once we start profiling the cache provider, we can actually come in here and say, hey, this is the key that was looked up. It was a cache hit. You know, we were able to avoid doing a SQL statement for you. Okay, and from here, you can do other things as well. If you've got multiple users, you'll see multiple users showing up, this type of thing, okay? But to start with, we're predominantly targeting, okay, that dev time experience. So some of the things that we'll start looking at is at the moment, you know, this isn't all that useful seeing like one user show up, okay? So we're thinking about, well, what does the experience look like, okay, for dev time where you only have that one user, okay? Maybe we shouldn't show you that, okay? And so that we can get some more real estate back, okay, and start showing things like that. At the moment, we've just got this one tab up and running, okay? We've been focusing a lot on how we get the data out of the system, okay? But you'll notice over the coming weeks and months that things will very quickly start iterating on this, okay? Does this resonate with people in terms of like where we were versus and where we're heading to, okay, in terms of like the design? Okay, cool. So from there, I think the main stuff we start talking about is what Nick's got to say. Next.
Yeah, so the new UI is kind of step one, right? We're really enabling you to quickly switch context and look at different requests and different AJAX requests and requests from other users. The next is that we're going to be cross-platform by default. So Anthony and I, we actually work for a group in Microsoft called the Cross-Platform and Open Tooling Team. It's the same team that makes VS Code. And so everything that team does is kind of cross-platform by default. And so Glimpse V2 is completely built on top of Core CLR. So everywhere ASP.NET 5 goes on Core CLR, we go. And so we're never going to beat Damien's demo of running it on a Raspberry Pi. But if anybody wants to give me a Mac so I can show you, I won't give it back. And we can try that. So I don't really have a good demo there, but I think that you guys understand what cross-platform means. Slide monkey. Next is web farm support. This is probably the number one requested feature we ever had for Glimpse 1, and we were never really able to deliver on it. So if you have a website running in Azure Web Apps and you scale it across multiple instances, you want to collect Glimpse data across 4 or 5 or 10 or however many web servers on the front end, we will now support that. So this is the most interesting demo, and I drew the short straw. So let's take a quick look at what this web form support looks like. Really early days here. All right, so I also have Music Store running. Music Store was created by the mustachioed man in the back. I don't know if you guys have seen John Galloway. He looks like a strong man at a circus. He looks like a little monkey running around right now. So he originally created this. I don't know if he still is involved. So what Anthony didn't show you is how do we get Glimpse installed on this. It's just NuGet packages. So I'm going to look at Music Store here. You can see some of the NuGet packages we have available. Our feed right now for V2 only has about 5 packages. And so what Anthony was showing you was Glimpse running self-contained. We kind of consider it dev mode. That's always been our bread and butter. You install Glimpse with a package install, you press F5, boom, data shows up. So we're still going to support that. To do that, you will install the Glimpse package. But now you put your app into production or onto a staging server or someplace where multiple users are hitting it, and you kind of want to graduate into this web farm support mode that I'm talking about. So what you're going to do for that is you'll go into your project.json or however you like to manage your NuGet files. And where this used to be just the word Glimpse installed, I've added .agent.asp.net. The one below that, the glimpse.agent.asp.net.mvc, that package will probably go away. But right now, that is basically a tag helper, which Taylor just showed you. That I got one cheer. Everybody who cares about, no, I'm just joking, Taylor. What that is that's a tag helper that injects the Glimpse script tags into the response for you. So that's how HUD shows up. But we might refactor that so you get it automatically with one package. Anyway, so I've now graduated my app. I switched over from Glimpse to agent.asp.net MVC. I'm sorry, just agent.asp.net. My startup stays the same. So when I added Glimpse, I had to go services.addglimpse. And I had to new up some middleware too, or chain in some middleware somewhere in here. And so I say app.useglimpse. That's it. I don't change anything. That's what I did when I was in dev mode. But now I'm going to be remote. OK, so I've moved Glimpse from like being self-contained over to just an agent. So now we need the concept of a server. Right now, we have a very, very simple server. I'll show this server to you. It's this project here. It has basically one real dependency. It depends on glimpse.server. And then there's some other stuff that we need for hosting an ASP.NET app. And that application is very simple. We basically we write out some stuff to the console to make it easier for us to manage these things. We do the same 2 lines of code. We add Glimpse. We use Glimpse. And then all I'm doing here is I'm just writing out some HTML, really quick and dirty style. And so if I run that, that pops up this console application. I'm running on port 5210. So let me show you what port 5210 looks like. This is Glimpse server. And so obviously you could just take the NuGet package and host it in whatever kind of server environment that you want to, but the idea is that we will provide some UI around here and maybe even have like a one-click button from our GitHub repo where you can get this thing up and running in a free Azure website or something like that. So from here, I need to do one more thing to graduate my agent, and I will download this configuration file. So that's in gimme glimpse.json. I've actually already moved that into the root of my music store project. It looks like this. It basically, Glimpse follows like this hypermedia model for communicating with the backend. And so these are our new URIs that we need to go to. And you'll notice that all the ports here are 5210. So music store is running on port 5000. Our server is running on 5210. And so what that means is, let me go ahead and launch the client. I'm looking at a client on 5210. I'm going to go ahead and start browsing around. I'm going to go to Dave Ward's favorite kind of music. He likes Latin. You guys should see him salsa. Ask him tonight to do it. It's breathtaking. And so Latin was the thing that popped up. And so I'll just go ahead and let's do this. I'll put the client over here. And let's be Microsoft-y about things. Come over here to Edge. Make a request. Oh, I don't want to go to the corporate intranet. That's Satya, guys. Oh, come on. So I can be in IE, I can be in Chrome. Oh, man. I really can, I promise you. And so as I start browsing around here, I'll go to Rock. You can see it's following along just like what Anthony kind of showed you, but I'm doing that distributed. So now I can have five or six different web servers all pointing into this one client, and I can view all of my data.
Yeah, and as we mentioned before, we don't imagine that in a production scenario, you would be profiling every single request this way, okay? So what you could do is you might end up doing sampling, or you might end up doing, you know, as I said, just whatever criteria you decide. That's very easy to plug in, okay, for what you'd want to do in a distributed scenario. So that's kind of web farm support. Yes, we want to do that. Just wait for that to go away. Okay. So the next thing is kind of like how does Glimpse actually work today? Okay, in V2 under the covers on ASP.NET vNext. So it turns out that we've actually learned as a group a lot about how to do this type of debugging and diagnostics. So in Glimpse V1, what we actually do is we actually ask for, let's say from MVC, we ask for the view engine if we're interested in what the view engine is doing. We wrap it up in a side of a Glimpse view engine and we put that back. Okay, and then we're able to see the ins and outs of different methods that occur and whatever else. Now, that's a very blunt instrument, okay, in terms of that style of approach for trying to get information out of the system. What would actually be better is if MVC could actually tell us, okay, what was going on inside of the view engine resolution, okay, or, you know, inside routing, you know, whatever it happens to be. And so this is what we actually sat down and had a look at, was what would this actually look like? And Ryan was heading up a lot of the efforts here, okay, and what we actually came up with is something called diagnostic source. Okay, who's ever heard of event source and ETW? Okay, cool. How unfortunate. So what diagnostic source does is it's kind of like the logical partner, okay, to event source, but one, it's in proc. Okay, event source, even though you can consume it in proc, isn't really all that friendly for that, okay? Particularly if you're trying to do the rich style of diagnostics that Glimpse does. And then what it also does is provide rich objects, okay? Which is the big thing that event source doesn't do as well, okay? So event source is more akin to logging, okay, than it is to, you know, how would I provide rich information to a system like Glimpse or, you know, other diagnostic systems that start to come along, okay? And so from that, what we're actually doing is IntelliTrace is going to start being built on top of diagnostic source, as well as App Insights and a whole bunch of other tools within Microsoft. And this is something that we imagine will start rolling across the board into the community as well. And so what this actually starts to look like is, and if you're interested in this, you can go to, it's a core part of the CLI now. And so this is at the very foundation of the CLR. So it's a very, very low dependency. So what we're imagining is that ADO, we're getting diagnostic source events put into ADO, as well as networking. It's already through MVC, Entity Framework, DNX, or at least the hosting layer of ASP.NET, and stuff like this. And so in terms of actually consuming these events, or I guess authoring these events, what it actually looks like is, if we have a look here, this is like the root hosting engine, okay? So when you actually start your application, this is the part that's actually running at the core here, at the core. So we can see things like HTTP context actually being created and being stored away. We can see some logging going on, and then we actually get into like actually running your application and actually starting your middleware. And so what we can actually see around here is there's some logging going on, but we can see is these diagnostic source events, okay? Starting at the pre, we can see one inside of if an exception occurs, and then we can see the final end request one. And so what this act looks like, okay, is a subscription system, okay? So basically, you can subscribe to a given topic. In this case, it would be Microsoft ASP.NET hosting end request. And if someone is around and listening and cares, the event will actually be published. And why this is interesting is that you'll actually notice that we have a pre-flight event here, which is the is-enabled. Now, a lot of systems like Event Source and whatever else leave it up to the consumer, okay, to decide inside of the write whether or not the system should do something, okay, whether it should actually write out. So for something like Glimpse, if we were using Event Source, our write would be called, okay, and then we would have to decide inside of our write whether or not we want to do something. Whereas this actually turns it on its head. So let's say we wanted to instrument our routing. And to instrument routing with event source information, we actually want a rich object which represents the decision tree, okay, that MVC went through to resolve the routing or the model binding or whatever complex engine we may be dealing with. To do that, it may actually add a big performance hit, okay, relatively speaking, to your application. So what we can actually do is right at the beginning of that decision engine, okay, or ahead of routing or whatever else, we can actually say, is anyone actually interested in me collecting this information, okay? And if so, Glimpse would go, yes, I am, or you know, whoever wants to know about it, App Insights can say, yes, we're interested, and then the system can actually go along and create that rich object as it's going along, and then at the end of the request, publish it. And how this actually starts to differ from logging, okay, is traditionally logging is about like, you know, post-analysis, okay? So I've got a log file, it's got a bunch of log statements, you know, I might have 100, okay, from the routing engine. And it's kind of up to you to put together the picture of what was actually going on. Whereas events, a diagnostic source, because you're actually getting rich objects out of it, okay, it's the system actually saying, here's what's going on, okay? Here's the state in context of what I'm actually doing, okay? So you can actually get a hold of that. Now, in terms of the consumption side of this, okay, and again, this diagnostic source stuff has nothing to do with Glimpse, okay? Glimpse leverages this platform, okay? So if you choose as framework authors, so part of the reason I'm bringing this up is kind of like a rally cry to say, hey, look, if you're a framework author, you know, diagnostic source is a really interesting way of making information available from your system. Because on the flip side, when we actually start coming to how do we actually consume this data, I can give you an example of this. So inside of Glimpse, we have an inspector, okay, and the exact structure of the code here doesn't really matter all that much. And so what we can actually do is listen to this event. So you'll see that we have an attribute here where we're actually listening for this event. And within this, we've actually already said ahead of time that yes, Glimpse is turned on for this individual request. We're happy to pay, you know, any cost associated with that. And inside of this, you can see that I'm actually accepting the HTTP context, which if I go up to the begin event, you'll actually see here's HTTP context, and that's actually passed in to my listener. Okay, and so from here, I actually have access to the real HTTP context. which is really cool. And so from that, from a Glimpse perspective, we pull out the information that we actually care about. So this is kind of like the curated part. This is the part that Glimpse is adding on top of this. We don't really care about the whole object. We only care about a subset of that object. And then we send the message off, okay, through Glimpse's architecture. Okay, and that happens on at the end of that particular request. And then likewise, we're in terms of end request, we can do the same thing. But for the exception, okay, that we saw over here, we can see that there's actually two properties here, HTTP context and exception. And so guess what? When we actually come to handling that, we've got the two arguments there that actually match up to that. So this is really cool. Now, one of the things that you'll actually get into from a consumption point of view, and this is one of the challenges that Glimpse has always had, is, you know, how do we communicate to users, okay, which combination of Glimpse packages they need? Like at the moment, we've got Glimpse MVC 3, 4, 5, you know, and that wasn't too bad because MVC was one package. Okay, but moving forward, ASP.NET is actually made up of, you know, like 100 packages. And so if the types that we care about, and in this case, you know, let's say HTTP context, that lives in one package, okay, well, we actually care about a lot of different types in terms of consuming this information. That might live across, you know, 50 different packages. And the practicalities of having like a Glimpse package that mirrors every single one of those packages just isn't there, okay? So what we've actually done in terms of consuming this information, what we can start looking at is here is the MVC before action event. Okay, and if we have a look here, we can see, right, we've got a HTTP context, but what we'll actually see here is that we've got an iRoute data, okay? Now, that iRoute data, okay, isn't in the MVC code base, that's in our code base. So what we're actually doing is if you choose to, and if you want to manage your dependencies, and this is more a problem of something like Glimpse, but if you're thinking of creating diagnostics tools, this is issues that you'll start running into. This type lives in our code base. And so what we're doing is we're duck typing, okay, between the real route data object, okay, into our iRoute data object, okay? And so from that, we can actually start loosening our dependencies. So if we actually have a look at the Glimpse ASP.NET agent at our project.json, we actually don't have any dependencies on if VS is cooperating, it's frozen at the moment. If we had a look in our project JSON, we don't have any dependency on any MVC packages or any entity framework packages or anything like this. So it means that if we wanted to be able to profile other frameworks out there just out of the box, we can do that, okay? And when we actually see an event that matches up with that topic that we're interested in, the UI will just light up accordingly. Okay, so that's diagnostic source, okay? If you are interested in consuming the information in this sort of rich way with duck typing the attributes and whatever else, that's the diagnostic source adapter, okay? And again, Ryan was a huge influence on that and helped spearhead that effort, okay? So we have him to thank for that, as well as the rest of the team. So that's kind of the foundation of what Glimpse V Next is built on. When we actually go back and start having a look at, like looking at supporting .NET 4.5 and 4.0, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a sec, okay, we'll have to fall back to some of the more traditional ways of doing this, because even though diagnostic source does work on there, we can't go back and retrospectively update MVC 3 or 4 or whatever else, okay, to publish the events that we're interested in. Cool. Okay, so...
yeah, one of the points that Anthony mentioned that I want to hit on more is now that diagnostic source is kind of a fundamental part of .NET, it's in the CLR, we're just sitting on top of it, we're using it, but so is IntelliTrace and so is App Insights. So all we need now is for the libraries that you guys consume to begin to publish more and more rich data, and all of these tools can begin to light up. So the ASP.NET team and the EF team have already done it. Anthony and I are working with HTTP client team and the ADO .NET team to have them add this kind of tooling. If you see guys like, I don't know, James from JSON.NET or Automapper or whatever your favorite library is, maybe buy them a beer this week and tell them to do this so diagnostics show up everywhere.
Cool. So from there, we start looking at what's next.
Yeah, so what we're showing you guys today is MVP. It is the minimal viable product. We know that we are not feature complete, especially when you compare it to the richness of what we offer in 1.x. It is not visually complete. We're still working with designers to clean things up. Anthony showed you some mocks of where we think we might be heading, but you see that we're lacking a lot of color and stuff like that right now. But it works, and it gets out the data that you need. And so what we're planning on doing is we're going to release what you've seen here today, this month, probably a little bit later in mid-November. And that will be our beta release. And we'd love, and I mean, you can go and use it now. Everything is open source and on GitHub, so you feel free to do that. But if you want to wait for a package to show up on NuGet.org, that's the thing to do. So then moving forward from there, we will fully release V2, obviously, with our release to web. And at that point in time, when we're fully released, Glimpse V2 will support ASP.NET 5 and ASP.NET 5 only. So that's probably the biggest thing that's going to be missing when we come out. It'll look better. There maybe not be as many tabs or as rich of data. We're going to get there and catch up. But the big thing is, if you have an existing app today that you're not moving over to vNext, we're not going to be able to support you on day one. And so that brings us to point number three, which is support for 4.5 and 4.0 applications. And so we're going to do an effort to take all of our existing Glimpse packages, the ones that you may have already used today, we're going to basically gut them out and only leave the crazy dynamic proxy code that we have to do to get the diagnostics data from before diagnostics source existed and publish that over. So after number three, which we're shooting to finish up hopefully in Q1 of next year, you will have everything that we've shown you today. You'll be cross-platform when you can be cross-platform. It'll run on your existing applications. It'll run in the new UI. You'll have web farm support. You'll have all the stuff that we're talking about. And so hopefully by then, everybody in this room will be able to use V2. There's a bunch of stuff that we always think about beyond that. There are some teams that are looking at what Glimpse for Node might look like within our organization, and some other frameworks that we can maybe get involved with. But that's all kind of stuff that's just kicking off now.
Mm-hmm. Because if we think about the UI that we've shown you, okay, from a curated perspective, all of those concepts work on whatever web framework you happen to be using. So let's stick within .NET. If you're using Nancy, there is still a concept of like some sort of route, okay? And there's still a concept of some sort of action that occurs and a view or a result from that, okay? They mightn't be called that, okay, but from a default perspective, if Nancy was publishing those events, it'll just show up automatically, okay? And you'll get a lot of UI out of the box, okay, just working for free, okay? Now, obviously, there's going to be concepts that are, you know, unique and specific to Nancy, okay? But that'll just work, okay? They'll be able to add extra plugins for the stuff that they don't get day one out of the box. And, you know, kind of the thought exercise that leads on from that is, well, you know, if this works for Nancy, okay, in terms of frameworks, that everything that we've talked about also works for other frameworks, okay? So if we start thinking about things like Node, that's where we can start saying, well, the whole concept of what Glimpse is trying to do in terms of, you know, looking at the frameworks that you're using, providing a custom experience based on those frameworks, okay, and giving you this level of diagnostics makes sense on those other platforms. Okay, so if you've got a heterogeneous environment where you've got like that thin web server and you might have different platforms on the back end, not just .NET, okay, Glimpse will, in the future, you know, will be able to start helping you out there and actually providing you feedback on those other platforms. Okay, so really, really cool stuff in terms of where we're actually going with that.
Yeah, so we've already mentioned we're open source. We continue to be open source. Microsoft is sponsoring us, so Anthony and I get to continue to work on this full time, but community project will continue to do that. It's what's gotten Glimpse this far so far, so we'd like to continue with that and see you guys come along beside us.
And kind of lastly, some of the things that we're talking about, and this is more pie in the sky, okay, and so it's not exactly NDA, but you know, we're just trying to figure out, you know, where we're going with this stuff. Is one idea that we've had is everything that you've seen kind of like inside of this application. And so let's get back to a screenshot here. This view here, okay, is kind of like, if you imagine, do you know how I said like the actual tab that we're looking at, like execution versus trace versus orchestration, is kind of that cube spinning in different directions. One thing that you could actually look at too is that this whole application that we're looking at here could spin in those different directions as well. Okay, so what you're actually viewing here is kind of like a request sub-application within Glimpse, for instance. And so where we could go in the future is saying, well, what does a trace sub-application look like? So regardless, stop filtering and grouping this data by request. I want to see this across all requests filtered to a certain set of criteria, okay? Or, you know, I care about exceptions, okay? So I want that same sort of experience, okay? So this is where we can start going with some of this stuff. So is there any questions? I think we've got a couple of minutes for questions. Yes?
Is there any thought about doing learning behavior within the UI to like highlight things that maybe need further diagnosis?
Yeah. So we envision.
Repeat the question.
So is there any concept of like alerting that within the UI that we can bring? So if a request, you know, for instance, within HUD takes longer than, you know, or has more than, let's say, three SQL statements, okay, can I actually get that highlighted in the UI? So where we actually imagine that some of this is going in the end is that we'll actually have Glimpse be more of a platform. Okay, so at the moment it's not that because we ship with a bunch of plugins out of the box, but you can imagine something like alerting be a platform service. Okay, HUD is a platform service and we'll have these different things. So it's definitely on our radar and it's just figuring out the right way of doing that. Okay, because if you think about it, during dev, you know, what counts as an alert? You know, a request that takes longer than a second? Well, it's in dev time, so that doesn't necessarily make sense. Something that may make sense, and this is like really pie in the sky, is we've talked about, okay, if Glimpse is focusing on this dev time experience, how can we get you more information to help you make decisions during development time? Specifically, what happens if we could tie into App Insights or New Relic or whatever it happens to be and say, well, when you're actually looking at a given SQL query, what happens if we could actually show in the UI here next to the SQL statement, okay, the percentiles of what happened in production? Okay, so instead of seeing like, hey, well, you know, this query took 7.73 milliseconds, yay, that's dev time. But what I actually want to see is how does this thing that I'm focused on and looking at in development, how does it actually perform in production? Okay, without having to switch context to, you know, flip over to App Insights or New Relic or whatever else. Yeah. So can we bring that back and actually say, well, the 99th percentile here is, you know, 2 seconds, okay? So that you can actually start making intelligent decisions when you're actually working with this. Another example could be that, well, based on the unique queries or the distinct queries that we actually see in production, this query is executed, you know, 50% of the time. So if you're actually making changes here, well, you're going to want to be careful. You know, so these are the sorts of things that we can start doing in the future once we get some of our base foundation in line.
Yeah, and Joe, this is something that the EF team has expressed interest in from us.
Yeah.
There's some best practices that they need to analyze at runtime, and this would be a good way to expose a diagnostic source in general, and then we have the UI on top of it. Any other questions?
Okay, so feel free to hit us up. We'll be around. And if you have any feedback on what you're seeing, you know, this is the time to try and get some of that feedback in, okay? Or if you're a framework author, we'd love to talk to you in terms of trying to get information out of those frameworks and see what we can actually do. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.